This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all. 'Cause I'm the tax man.
The tax man. Hope you paid your taxes. I guess, I don't know if they gave us an extension on taxes or not. Good morning. Due Welcome today. To Freedom Works.
They are due today.
Oh, they are. Oh, okay. What is today? The 17th? Yes, it is. Okay. Well, that's why Ed put that in. Very good, Ed. I was not aware of that. I paid my taxes like a good altar boy some time back.
This is the pandemic date.
Oh, that's important. Okay, we got everything screwed up, even our taxes, because of the pandemic. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Laura Rice. She is of the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk about how Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is continuing to dodge the important questions on border security. Have you heard this clown try to talk about what they are doing at the border? It's an embarrassment. Anyway, can't wait to talk with Laura. And hey, why is Liz Cheney so dead set against Donald Trump? I'm beginning to wonder. She really does have something out for him. She lost her committee post over it. And as you may know, she's been making the TV rounds to discuss her feelings. We're going to get some thoughts about all of this and on some other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. And New York's Gay Pride Parade wants no policemen in sight? What's going on with that? No cops. What are they trying to do? What's their point in saying that? We're going to take a look at that. And in our ultimate top 10, if you listened to our show on Friday, we gave you the best cities for barbecue. Turnabout being fair play, the top 10 worst cities for barbecue. Why do you care? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's an embarrassment. Anyway, the top 10 worst cities for barbecue. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin. In the Overcash Plaza, that is in or on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. All right, well, so we've got all of these mandates coming out of Washington about either you can wear your mask or you no longer have to wear your mask. And then you've got the local and the state laws here in Florida. I guess the state law is that you can wander around outside without a mask, which is good, especially if you've had your vaccine. Follow the instructions of the store you're going into. They usually have a sign posted outside. And that's probably all you got to know about it. But they're certainly making a big deal of the Center for Disease Control and what you're supposed to be doing, and a question of whether or not the teachers' union had anything to do with their decision to tell people not to put their kids back in school so quickly. So there's a lot of things that are going on that front, and it'll keep going, I guess. So overseas, we haven't talked about what's going on in Israel. It's terrible. Hamas and Israel are really at it right now. The Associated Press claims they were not warned that Israel was going to bomb the building that they have their office in. Did you see on television that that shot of that building literally collapsing? Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu directly called out the Associated Press for saying they didn't know that Israel was going to use was going to make an airstrike on that building. Now, they have their bureau in the building. It's in Gaza City. The reason that Israel was going to do that is because Hamas was occupying the building. Now, the Associated Press was warned. Everybody was out of the building when the thing was hit. But the CEO of the Associated Press, his name is Gary Pruitt, said that he was, quote, shocked and horrified that the military would target and destroy the building housing their bureau. And then he said he didn't know that the AP did not know that Hamas or Hamas was active in the building. Here's a news organization, that claims they didn't know that Hamas was active in the building. Would you want to follow whatever they have to say about the news after hearing that? That sounds a little disingenuous to me. I would think they would know if Hamas was in the building. Now, Netanyahu was on Face the Nation. He said one of the AP journalists said, quote, we were lucky to get out, unquote. No, you weren't lucky to get out. It's because we took special pains to call people in the building. Now, if you read anything that the Associated Press usually prints, it's very far left. It's hard to read it. Here locally, the AP is always splashed on the Tampa Bay Times, so you'll get national and international stories with their moniker, but they're very far left. So anyway, there you go. We got some other things that are going on, by the way, with the press. It was on Meet the Press, and I did not see this. I'm just reading about it, but Republican Dan Crenshaw was on Meet the Press, and Chuck Todd hosts Meet the Press on NBC. And Crenshaw criticized Todd for talking about the Cheney situation with Donald Trump as overblowing it, and said he wasn't surprised about how they focused in on Cheney because he said the media is largely liberal. Here's a news flash for you, Ed. The media is largely liberal. Of course, Cheney was voted out of her leadership position last week. They had this discussion with Crenshaw on Meet the Press, and while the media has appeared to fawn over Cheney for speaking out against Trump, Crenshaw said the press has failed to point out that Republicans voted to keep her as the conference chair following her vote to impeach Trump. And Crenshaw said, you don't bring that up. You can't gloss over that fact. It does seem like the press is making a big deal out of Cheney. By the way, they didn't care a fig about Cheney before because she's a Republican, considered conservative, voted to impeach Trump. I think she was wrong to vote to impeach him. But she also says that Trump is not being honest and fair about the election, and when he continues to say that it was rigged and that he should have won. On that, I can understand why she's upset. I'm not so sure I would have voted to impeach Trump if I were in her shoes. I think that's the thing that's really doing her in more than anything else. Anyway.
To me, she's got quite a few squirrels running around in the attic.
I saw her the other day on, I think she's a bright woman. She's very bright. And, of course, she's the daughter of Dick Cheney. Trump never liked Dick Cheney. It goes back to a dislike. And I think she feels that. So there's already some bad feelings between her and Trump. Right from the get-go. Because Trump was never a Dick Cheney guy, okay? Yeah. So I think there's some of that. you know, there were a handful, and only a handful of Republicans that voted against Trump, or voted to impeach Trump, I should say, right? Including Romney and her and a few others. But I think they had personal things, little vendettas going on with Trump as well. So anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, I can't wait to talk with Laura Reese of the Heritage Foundation.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday, and delighted to have back Laura Reese, who is the director of the Center for Technology Policy and Senior Research Fellow for Homeland Security at the Heritage Foundation. Laura, welcome back. So this guy, Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, I almost was ready to throw a brick through the TV one time when I was watching him. He seemed so... I don't know. He just talk about dodging any responsibility for what is going on at the southern border. So your Vice President for National Security, James Carafano, released a statement talking about how he, Mayorkas, chooses to hide from accountability. So what is going on with all of that?
Well, thanks, Paul, for having me on. And you're right, it was a difficult hearing to watch. Secretary Mayorkas continued to falsely blame the Trump administration for the border crisis, which even the Washington Post says was created by the Biden administration. He couldn't answer basic questions about his department and continued to avoid saying that this is a border crisis. He calls it a challenge. So he's continuing to play word games.
Yeah, challenge. Wow.
Situation.
A challenge. People, what is it? Hundreds of thousands pouring across the border. He's calling it a challenge. I mean, it is the dumbest thing in the world. Everybody knows that they could stop that if they really wanted to. I think the great question for this guy is, why do you want to have it continue like this? Did anybody really ask him that? Why do you want this to continue?
No, and it's an important question. And how many people are enough? Because you're right. Clearly, they want this to happen. They could stop it easily, and they continue to let it happen. Vice President Harris has not gone to the border, even though she was put in charge of it. So they're going to keep letting this go. They want to get better at processing and faster at processing illegal immigrants in. The only change that they want is to get the media spotlight off of them. Meanwhile, you know, the number of unaccompanied alien children that are coming in is historic. In April of this year, the Border Patrol reported the second highest month in their 96 year history of over 17,000 unaccompanied children coming in. And the first highest month was last month, March. So we are on a very bad trajectory, and it's important that Congress not fund the Biden administration's tactics or codify what they're doing.
Why doesn't Congress do something? Why do you think they're just sitting back? Is it because they really want all these illegal immigrants to be here and deal with it that way?
Well, it seems that those on the left are fine with this approach, which is shocking, and it's a dereliction of duty. They swore an oath to the Constitution to protect Americans and to defend this country, not to benefit hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants. Several conservatives would like to stop this. We have a very split Congress, and so nothing gets done. But it's important that conservatives fight this, particularly on the funding part of this. The Biden administration is burning through money. Health and Human Services is pulling $2 billion out of their COVID and emergency fund to pay for housing for these unaccompanied alien children. I think Americans need to be aware of that. After the Biden administration has continuously tried to bash the Trump administration for so-called empty cupboards when dealing with COVID, and yet the Biden administration is pulling $2 billion out of that cupboard to pay for this. So the Republicans really need to fight any funding to support what this administration is doing.
Indeed. We're talking with Laura Reese. She is the director at the Center for Technology Policy and Senior Research Fellow for Homeland Security at the Heritage Foundation. Do you think, Laura, that there's a bit of a wag the dog going on with this announcement by the Center for Disease Control all of a sudden that we are not going to have to wear masks outside and you know, it's a sort of a relaxation. And I say wag the dog so that we don't focus attention on things like what's going on at the border. Do you think there's real politics going on with things like this?
It's very likely. There aren't many coincidences in Washington, D.C., particularly when it comes to announcements and messaging. And so the President Biden has had a really bad couple of weeks when you talk about the border crisis has been going on for months. But also the pipeline cyber hack and the fallout from on gasoline prices and shortages on the East Coast, along with attacks in Israel. It's pretty likely that that's why they decided to make that mask announcement at that point as a distraction.
Now, you've been overseeing things with border security, Homeland Security, for a while. Has it ever been worse than this?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, we've faced spikes in the past. We had one in 2019. We had one in 2014. But the numbers we're seeing are historic. So these spikes are worse. And it's because it's been a dual opening by the Biden administration, not only opening the border and just letting people in, but also not deporting them. So it's a one-way pass in, and this administration is not removing people. They have record lows for enforcement, and unfortunately, we have become a sanctuary country. This has not been seen before.
It's just amazing to me that we have gotten into this situation. I mean, some years back, I couldn't fathom that we would just kind of open the gates and allow people to pour in, not knowing in many cases who they are, I guess. Stop building a fence, not wanting to construct a fence, just a basic. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense other than they want either some chaos in this country or they feel that they're placating Hispanics. I'm talking about the Democratic Party, and that therefore they will get more votes. I mean, it's a complete abdication of responsibility.
It is a complete abdication, and it's difficult to conclude that this is anything but power for them, and that they view these migrants as future Democratic voters to increase the power and the perpetual power of the party, which is not what they took an oath to do. That is not their job. They're mm-hmm. supposed to protect this country first and foremost, and to be loyal to Americans, to U.S. citizens, and also another component that suffers are lawful immigrants in our lawful immigration system.
That's right.
Fewer and fewer are going to obey our lawful immigration system when they see how easy it is to come here illegally.
Yeah.
And just out of perspective, so Gallup did a recent poll on how many people from Latin America and the Caribbean would like to come to the U.S. permanently. 42 million people would like to come here permanently. That's about 13% of our population. So someone should be asking Secretary Mayorkas and the president, how many people are enough? What point will you start enforcing the border and enforcing our laws?
Now, I don't know a lot about the background of Alejandro Mayorkas. He's Hispanic. Do you think he's going to stay in this position, in this job, for very long? I mean, it's like he's not doing anything. What is he really doing?
Well, yeah, he is Cuban, and he often shares his story of his parents bringing him here. I think he's safe in that position for a while. I don't know about HHS Secretary Becerra. That might be something different. But what was so shocking to me about the hearing last week with Secretary Mayorkas is he was almost in tears talking about the unaccompanied children coming here and the harm that they face. And yet he is the very person who continues to call them here. He keeps saying that we will not return any unaccompanied alien children. So certainly it encourages more parents to send their kids here unaccompanied in the hands of smugglers and traffickers who are making now $20 million a day. And so for then the secretary to say they are facing dangerous journeys is just ridiculous.
Doesn't Biden realize, don't the people around Biden realize that this issue can bring down the Democratic Party next year in terms of keeping the Congress? Are they that tone deaf? This is really, I mean, this issue, the Republicans, politically, this is a wonderful issue for Republicans.
Yeah, it's looking more promising that the Republicans can take back at least the House. Largely on the immigration issue alone, although there are many other issues. I think the administration is just moving as fast and as broadly as they can while they have the White House in both chambers of Congress right now. And 2022 be damned, I guess, is their approach, because they are not letting up. They are not changing course.
Right. Ed, do you have a question?
I wanted to echo something Laura was talking about. Laura, when I see the photos, and I wish they would quit calling them refugees, because when I think of refugees, I think of people crossing the border with whatever they've got on their back, tattered and whatever. These people are coming across with brand-new shoes, brand-new clothes, backpacks, everything you can think of, and the general American public is just thinking, I mean, the poor people that we've got on the streets living in America don't look like this. These people that are coming across the border that are being called refugees.
Yeah, there are clearly organizations that are supporting these migrants in terms of their transportation and clothing and supplies. You're right. Refugee is a legal term. It's a legal conclusion. These people are coming here for economic reasons and to escape, their own respective COVID economies. And so 85 to 90% of these people turn out not eligible for asylum or refugee status. They're coming here for jobs.
A final question to you, Laura. I heard, and maybe I misheard it, that Biden was actually going to complete about 13 miles of fence or something like that. I don't know how all of that works, but you would think that the states would sue him or sue the government for not protecting them. You know what I mean? Because that is a federal responsibility, the protection of our borders, our defense. And
right.
Couldn't the Attorney General of, say, Texas or Arizona, couldn't they sue the government for that?
So Texas is pursuing a lawsuit on that basis and seeking to complete wall construction along the Texas border. The work that is being done right now by the Biden administration has to do with a levee. They were going to build a wall on top of a levee, but then, of course, Biden suspended the wall construction. So now they have to complete the portion of the levee because we've got hurricane season coming.
Ah, yes. Always an excuse. Laura, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much for coming on this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Okay. Laura Reese of the Heritage Foundation. We shall take a break when we come back. Liz Cheney making the rounds. Oh, my goodness. Craziness. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole all about it, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. It's, by the way, a gorgeous Chamber of Commerce day in Tampa Bay. We don't have very much humidity right now. Sun is brightly shining. People are back. The tourism industry is getting back to normal. A lot of people are not wearing masks outside anymore. You know, it just, I don't know. There's something good about the whole thing.
I felt like a freeze of bird. I walked into Publix the other day without a mask on.
Did you?
No mask, no arrows to follow, nothing.
So Publix allows people to come in without masks?
As of Saturday, yes.
No kidding. Oh, I didn't know that.
Walmart, too.
Really?
You have to take, well, you, on the honor system.
Nobody's going to give us a dirty look if we go in?
On the honor system that you've been vaccinated.
I see. So if you haven't been, technically they would like you to continue to wear your mask. Yeah. Well, that's sort of like the scarlet letter, right? If you go in with a mask, everybody will go, so you're not going to get your vaccine.
Well, no, there's people that are listening to Fauci all the time, you know, that wear them outside, you know, wear them in the car by themselves, walking outside by themselves, and then getting vaccinated and still wearing them.
Because, you know. Okay. Well, I'm glad we are getting closer and closer. All right. So we got the proprietor of the barber pole. I don't think, Andrew, maybe you wore a mask somewhere. I guess you had to go into some stores with a mask, but other than that, you've been maskless, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's good. So, wanted to talk a little bit about Liz Cheney and why she dislikes Donald Trump so much. Now, she has been appearing on the talk shows. She was ousted as the third-ranking House Republican She claims that she doesn't want Trump to get anywhere near the Oval Office again. Andrew, what is going on with Liz Cheney?
Well, you know, her father had quite a reputation of kind of being a little fool.
Mm-hmm.
He was tied in with the oil company. I can't even remember the name of it.
Marathon Oil, by any chance? Okay, anyway, I'm not sure.
Yeah. He, you know, and Trump didn't like the guy because he knows he's a buffoon. And she knows that. So, you know, she's got a little thing with her father. It's a little personal vendetta.
Yeah. I think you're right.
It's like the senator, what the hell, McCain, his daughter, the same thing. They're protecting daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're protecting daddy, but trying to ruin their country. You know, we need to get rid of these politicians that aren't for the country first. It seems they all got their little personal vendettas. Mitt Romney, you know, he has insecurity problems. He got booed off of the stage. They're all making mistakes. They're ruining their careers for being fools. But that's good. We need them out of there anyway.
Yeah. She may not even be reelected to her seat.
Oh, no, they don't even want her back. She's like Wisconsin, isn't it?
No, she's out in Wyoming.
In Wyoming. I mean, they don't even want her back.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
she got censured, you know. By the Wyoming legislature.
They boo her off the stage just like they did Romney. Let these people go. You know mm-hmm. what? We got better things to talk about than wasting our time with
That's
these
true.
Fools. All right? Look at what Joe Biden has done so far. Let's look at his record. We got war in the Middle East escalating like crazy. We didn't have it for 4 years.
Right.
We've got gas prices where, you know, you can't afford to drive across the street anymore.
True.
Okay. You've got all this COVID.
We got the border, we got the COVID, we got
the border.
Yep.
Everything this guy is touching, if it's not broke, it will break.
Do you think, Andrew the Master Barber, do you think this is kind of like what Jimmy Carter, what will happen to Biden might be like what happened to Jimmy Carter? We had a gas crisis, we had international trouble in Iran. In this case, it might be, you know, in Israel and the Hamas or whatever. But
Paul, the mm-hmm. buffoon gave billions of dollars to the Palestinians. The buffoon meaning Biden.
Yeah.
In case anybody doesn't know. He gave billions of dollars to the Palestinians who bought rockets from Iran, okay? And they're fighting the war for Iran. That's all they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this for Iran. Now, yeah. How stupid did this moron have to be to give him this kind of money?
Yeah.
And then you got our government. You got the Mod Squad in there rooting for the Palestinians. These people all need to go, Paul. They're all anti-American, and we're voting them in?
Yeah, yeah.
It's disgusting what's going on. I mean, we can talk. There's nothing positive of what is happening today in this country. If there is, let me know.
Right.
Nothing.
In the meantime, DeSantis, our governor here, seems to be managing things quite well. Florida continues to look awfully good when it comes to this situation with the virus. I don't know. He just seems to be handling it as, you know, very, very well. All of these different governors, you know, that are going through. The governor, I guess it's Whitmer in Michigan, Cuomo in New York.
The Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, and then out, Governor Nuisance in California. Well, they're all going through, but Ron DeSantis, no.
Oh, I was with the governor Saturday.
Were you?
Yes, I was. He was in Dunedin, and I went with the father, and we were right up there. And let me tell you something. This guy got cheered on like you will never see, okay? The people love him. You know why? He uses common sense, and he loves America.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I know I'm right, Paul.
No, I think he's... I can feel the American patriot in that guy when I listen to him. Go ahead.
There is no question about it, Paul. I mean, the people were actually falling all over him, thanking him for keeping the state of Florida the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I've never seen a response like this to anybody except for Trump. Okay?
Yeah.
But yet they're saying he lost the election. We've got a lot going on with this election, Paul. I mean, you know, Trump never conceded, and he never conceded for a reason.
Yeah. Well, this is what...
Recount.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
A recount in Arizona going on. You're going to have a recount in New Hampshire. There's going to be a recount. These are all going to be forensic audits, Paul. The truth will come out of what's happening to this country. And if the people seriously aren't pissed off about it, there's something wrong with the American people.
Mm-hmm.
They want their freedoms taken away. They want this country run over by illegal immigrants, taking everything that the American people who worked so hard for all their life deserves these benefits. I don't mind helping people, Paul. Make them come in legally, like every one of our ancestors did.
No, you're right. I can't disagree with you. Follow the rules. We want people that to immigrate to our country. If you'll follow the rules, it used to be that you would get a sponsor. You would learn, you would learn the basics of the Constitution. You would have to pass a test, right? All of those things. My dad had to do that. We came from Canada, but my dad had to go through all of that. He had to have a sponsor. I came over when I was 4 years old. And just came along.
But all of our ancestors.
Yeah.
Mine were the same thing, and they all worked hard.
Exactly right.
Okay?
Yeah.
They are letting these people in because, like I said, if they knew they were going to vote Republican, their wall would be 100 feet tall. This has got
That's
to
true.
Stop. It has to stop now, Paul.
Yeah, you're right.
Let me tell you something. This keeps going on. The people are going to take it in their own hands. It's just a question of time. But, you know, we live in Florida. We don't have these problems. We're not feeling it like the rest of the country because of Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right? We're going about our everyday lives, Paul, like we should be doing. But the rest of this country is in turmoil.
I'm still trying to figure out how... I read a story, by the way, about this dark... What's the name of the group that got into the pipeline, the Colonial Pipeline, and demanded the ransom, and apparently got almost $5 million. From Colonial.
Well, Paul, there's more to this story than we're hearing about. Because I know for a fact, I've talked with people that actually worked for Colonial, that says there is all kinds of manual bypass on that thing. There is no reason it ever should have been shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't figure it out myself.
Story, Paul. There's more to the story. And you know what? This regime, I don't even call it an administration. I call it a regime that is in Washington right now, is out to destroy this country, paralyze the people. Look at this moron Biden wants to give $300 per child up to 88% of the families as income.
That's right. The Treasury Department said today 39 million families are set to receive monthly child payments beginning on July 15th. The payments are part of his $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package. Go ahead. Yeah.
I now call him Biden the Baptist. Because he's baptizing these people into socialism.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought there would be a streak of moderation in this guy. I don't see one.
Well, he doesn't know what's going on, Paul. You got Susan Rice and Barack Obama behind him.
Yeah.
Okay, he don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
He's got strings attached to him like you've never seen. And if the American people put up with this crap, there's something wrong with this country and the people that are in it. They're no more patriotic. You know, wait till the 4th of July when you see all these immigrants with their national flags up. You won't see their American flags. You'll see the Palestinian flag, the Somali flag, okay? Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
I never flew the Italian flag, Paul.
Yeah.
Always the American flag. My father was a Sicilian immigrant when he was 30 years old, went to World War II. Took two bullets for this country, drove a Sherman tank, and he didn't raise the Italian flag in front of my house, believe me.
Right,
I'm disgusted.
No, your father was like many patriots, and they...
Right, Paul, I am disgusted with 50% of the people in this country, but I think that 50% is dwindling because the moderate Democrats are seeing what's going on, and they're not that stupid either.
I'd like to think so. I like to think common sense is going to bring us back towards remembering what our country is all. You know, why do people want to come here to begin with? Why do people want to pour into our country? Because it was free. Because we had independence. Because we had personal responsibility. I know. But they still think it is, Andrew. They still think.
It is free, but they're paying you to come here. They're going to give you housing, medical care.
I know.
Food, okay? It's a bunch of bullcrap.
Yeah. Yep. Always appreciate how you feel, my friend, and I'm always delighted to spend some time with you on our show.
I wish I was able to say one thing positive on this show, what's going on with this country today.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. The only thing I can say positive is thank God we got Ron DeSantis as a governor.
Oh, that's a big positive. And I think he's going to be in even a higher position down the road. We'll see, though. We'll see.
I got no doubt about it, Paul.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right, Paul. You have a good day, buddy. We'll talk tomorrow.
Same to you, my friend. There he goes. You know, you might not always agree with Andrew, but he's passionate, and you must agree that the guy really believes in the American ideals. He really does. All right. Let us take our break. When we come back, what's going on with the gay pride people in New York? They don't want any police within sight during the parade.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Freedom Works, by the way, Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Tantalk Radio Network. If you cannot listen to us live, and we understand, you got things to do. Thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are on podcast. Go to our website at your leisure, ourfreedomworks.com. And at the top, you will see the podcast button. Ed has all our shows, chronological. You'll see the guest, you'll see the top 10, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, the president of New York Police's Gay Officers Action League, I didn't even know they had that in New York, calls the New York City Pride Parade's decision to ban police from the festivities shameful. He said their response to activist pressure is to take the low road by preventing their fellow community members from celebrating their identities and honoring the shared legacy of the Stonewall riots. Those were those original riots that helped kind of cement the gay organizations. But this guy, what's his name here? Detective Brian Downey, that's his name. He said, it was demoralizing that the event's organizers did not refer to the league by name in its announcement, referring to us only as law enforcement exhibitors. So why would the people that organized the Gay Pride Parade in New York not want police protection? I would think they would. I would think they would. There are a lot of people, let's face it, not big on gay lifestyle. Might show up, you know, throw something at them, brick or something. I think I'd want to have police protection, wouldn't you?
I didn't know you were allowed to ban police from anything.
Yeah, I don't know how they can do that anyway.
So I can walk up to a Clearwater cop and say, don't come around here, you're not allowed around here.
Exactly. I mean, first thing, if I was a policeman, I'd say, I'm going to walk the beat, I'm going to walk the street, and you don't like it, that's too bad.
But the first time there's a disturbance, guess who they're going to call?
Exactly. Let's see here. What else do they have to say about this thing? Misguided. The fire department chief also said it was stupid. Called for its reversal. Organizers of the event said the ban would continue through 2025 because they want, quote, safer spaces. What? Safer spaces for LGBTQ people and people of color who feel threatened by police. Come on. That is so stupid. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. Now, then they say here at the end, the Pride Festival will be mostly online this June, online, because of the pandemic. But we'll have some in-person component. What, are they only going to have about six people wander down the street dressed provocatively? Now, Ed, you're a regular attendant of the Gay Pride Parade, right, in St. Pete?
It always falls on the day I have to work, so no.
Okay. They do have one in St. Pete, though, right?
Yeah, they do.
Is it also in June, do you know? Or I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it is, but...
But I've not heard anything in it, anything from it being other than peaceful.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, no, it's a parade.
Very
it's
well.
Not a,
exactly.
It's a parade. It's not a protest or a riot.
And in some cases, police like to march with them.
Yeah.
You know. There's a bunch of them all over the country that
they're
are, that
just
are
out there being
up.
Happy. There's nothing wrong with
nothing
that.
Nothing wrong with it at all. All right. All right, my friend. Now, I want to talk some hockey with you.
Ooh.
I watched a game last night. I was on the edge of my seat in that game, and I cannot remember a game. We're talking, by the way, about the Tampa Bay Lightning Florida Panthers game, game one of the playoffs. Florida is the higher seed. They played it down in Miami area. They had a nice crowd. I think they had as many fights as they had people, though.
The announcer summed it up perfectly when he said there are bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one thing about the crowd, there was 9,000 allowed in. I just checked, and now that's right around 50% of the capacity down there. I just checked with the Lightning, and they're only going to allow 7,000, which would be a third of the capacity.
Right.
I don't know what's going on with that.
No, I don't either. Does that mean, I guess they each stadium. Hey, I have a question, and you may not know the answer to it, but it crossed my mind while I was watching hockey last night. I have not heard about the North Division Canadian teams playing in the playoffs. Are they also in the playoffs? Are they not?
I would think so.
Yeah, but for some reason, I haven't seen the schedule of their games, and I was wondering if in Canada, perhaps because of the virus, there's something going on, because remember all the teams in Canada just played each other. They didn't.
Right.
There was no crossing the border on
right.
any of that stuff.
Right.
So it's kind of weird. I'm sure they must have their playoffs going on there.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean,
yeah.
They're part of the NHL, so
yeah, they gotta have it. So Tuesday will be game two. We had Stamkos and Kucherov. Two of our stars back. I was very worried about how good they would be. To me, they look great. Kucherov.
Remember we talked about on Friday, you said, are they going to play or not? And I told you that they were probably going to sneak them out at the last minute. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, but I was worried they'd be... I was worried Kucherov in particular,
well,
the key to Kucherov would be rusty.
I think that's where, like last year, because of the pandemic and the COVID and the restrictions of no media allowed in the practices, that they were allowed to, you don't even know when Stamkos started skating. And he could have been skating for a month or so, and we didn't know about it. Same thing this year. Those guys could have been practicing ready for weeks.
No, I think they were practicing and getting ready. But game conditions are not the same as practicing, that's all.
Your North Division with the Canadians, the Maple Leafs, and the Oilers are both tied with 56 games played. I'm sorry, 35 wins. But we go by points, right?
Points, total points, yes.
77 points for the Leafs, 72 points for the Oilers. The Jets have 63, and the Canadians have 59, and they're all qualified for the playoffs.
Good. So they will be playing. We never hear about it because it seems like there's almost like, you know, we worry about our own division down here.
We don't need to know, eh?
I never hear anything about Canada. I don't even know who's the better teams up there.
We don't really care, eh?
When I was young, you know, came over from Canada, the kids would tease me because I would use A all the time.
Coach. The coach.
The coach.
The coach.
Ah, well, the good old days. All right. Enough of that. It is time to find out about the worst cities in the country for barbecue, Ed. These are the cities we do not want to go to because they make lousy barbecue.
You got to be really lame to mess up barbecue. I mean, that's pretty easy to.
That's like
screwing up toast.
Well, you can do that if you keep the damn things in the toaster too long. Anyway, Chef's Pencil is the group that came up with this. It's based on analyzing all barbecue restaurants in the 75 largest cities that have 10 or at least 10 or more barbecue places, okay? Here we go. Top 10 worst. Number 10. I would never have guessed this, but Fort Worth, Texas. Fort Worth, Texas. I think they'd have, to me, that's the heart of barbecue. How come they're the worst?
Wow.
How come they're the worst? I can't believe it.
Kind of like when you're born, you're covered with barbecue sauce.
Yeah, exactly right. Number 9, Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the heart of the center of the country. I guess they don't do much barbecue, maybe. I don't know. Number 8, Philadelphia. Stick with their cheese sandwiches or whatever there. Don't go into barbecue in Philadelphia. Number 7, hey, here's another one that surprises me. Houston. You know, Texas? I thought...
Oh.
I know. I'm beginning to doubt this one, this poll. But that's what they say. Number 6. Did you mention Jacksonville, Florida?
No.
Well, it is Jacksonville, Florida. Jacksonville, Florida doesn't know how to make good barbecue, apparently. All right. Number 5. Now, this place you go to, Ed, Aurora, Colorado, is number 5.
Well, now that's going to be a little north of Denver.
Yeah.
So
you don't go there?
No, not Aurora.
Oh, I thought you might ski up there. All right, number 4. San Antonio. Just go there for the Alamo.
Somebody's got a vendetta against Texas.
I've seen that. Yeah. You're right about that. And we're not through.
Uh-oh.
We're not through. We got another one.
Wow.
Yeah. Number 3. Boston.
Okay.
Just go for their clam chowder and go for their...
Well, maybe because some states just do one thing and only do one thing. So that makes sense.
I understand Boston. I certainly do. Number 2, Plano, Texas. Not plain old Texas.
Yeah.
Plano, Texas. Plano, Texas is the second worst?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. And this one is the worst. I'm going to give you a hint. I can totally understand because it is so far away.
I'm going to say Maine or how about Vermont.
Even further away.
Wow. All right.
You want to? Here we go. Anchorage, Alaska is the worst place for barbecue.
You know, that makes sense.
You know why? Have you ever had a whale blubber barbecue? They're not very tasty. That's why. I don't understand why Anchorage would even think about barbecue. They don't even know what the word means. That's what I would bet.
Crab is their thing, I guess.
Yeah, crab. Fish and whale meat and dog meat. No, I hope not. All right. Thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Please remember, always remember, freedom works.